We've seen this man in our worship services before. We've seen his name on our prayer list through a stretch of quite a while. So he's going to testify to the Lord's grace to us.
Thank you, Pastor. First of all and most of all, I want to give all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor, I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to stand before your lovely congregation. My name is Robert Guerra. I'm from San Antonio, Texas, accompanied by my wife, Gloria. This is my third time here. I've got to meet you. The first time that I came here with my mentor, my spiritual father and mother, Mr. and Mrs. Lena Owens. I want to thank them for being an example in my life, for being my mentors, for being my father and my mother, that I have a place to come that I'm welcome to in Willis, Texas. I try to visit them as often as I can because they've been a wonderful inspiration in my spiritual life. Amen. The reason that I'm here today, because the second time I showed up at this church, I had just had an accident. And it was basically in about September of last year. And I was put on your prayer list. And this church has been praying for me. And you don't know how grateful I am to have somebody and know somebody that's praying for my health, for my wealth, and for my salvation. Because that's what we need, is our salvation for our answers, the faith that we have to get healed. And praise God that I'm healing. But on the 15th of last month, I had another accident. And I'm on the healing stage again. And I would ask you very much to keep me on your prayer list, because it's a comfort for me to know that somebody cares. Prayer warriors of this house, I thank you. I appreciate you. But most of all, I love you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it a lot. Appreciate you sharing. Robert asked me a question a while ago, and I'm going to go ahead and share it with you, because he was just getting down to the point with me and before the Lord. He said, I got a question for you. When a pastor retires, what does he do? You want his answer? He becomes a pastor. Which is an interesting word, I think, in the middle of the action. When the man of God can be the man of God, regardless of a title or whatever we've done. The Lord leads us, we follow, and we have the opportunity just to worship Him along the way every day. He's been good to us. It's been a good week. In a way, for me, it was a hard week. I kind of did my weeping in between things for Eugene and his family. And then I was able to click that little thing on I had and go to the internet, and there was the service coming out of Kalispell, Montana. So we got to sit in our room and be there for the funeral service, memorial service, out of Kalispell, Montana, for Eugene Peterson and his family. And it was beautiful because the names in the thing, except for one or two, I'd heard about the young pastor who spoke briefly, was all Eugene's family. His preacher son led the service. His writer son spoke. And the music was very simple worship. Songs that we know, songs that we sing. And it was a blessing to me because I wanted to be there. And I knew being there actually could have been there. Somebody said to me, in fact, our daughter said to me, you want to go there? I'll pay the way. I'll get the tickets. But it's a lot of traveling for a little bit. And I had my time with the teacher, preacher, when he was at his best. And I'm grateful. So it's good. It's good to be home. It's good to be here. And it's good to worship together. We're going to pray now. You can remain seated. Just bow your heads with me. And let us pray. Father, it is a privilege indeed to wake up every morning and realize that you are the one in charge of what happens today. That you are the one we respond to in circumstances and situations. You are the one who brings to us what is needed to live. And we're thankful that you are present with us, that you keep us. When it would be nearly impossible for us to even think about trying to keep ourselves. You are the one who redeemed us. You are the one who lifted us up out of the miry clay and set our feet on a solid rock. You are the one who gave us new life, a new heart. You are the one who empowered us to do what you've called us to do, no matter what that is today, for every one of us. And we're thankful for all of that. Father, your word is an absolute necessity for us in these days we're living in. We need to hear what your word says. We need to meditate on what it says. We need to walk in obedience to your word no matter what transpires around us. And our task as a church, the body of Christ in this particular place, is not to try to go out and fix the big things, but to live in love as we live with others in this place. So help us to do that. Help us, Lord, to pray for one another as we prayed for Robert. Help us to remember that you hear our prayers when they're prayed. Help us to say yes to you as we look to you along the way. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you've done and are doing in our congregation. We again today lift up Bill Nowinski, having trouble breathing. Difficult right now and has to make some decisions again. So we lift him up to you and ask you to touch him right now and to strengthen him and encourage him and give him breath. Your breath. The breath that brings life to him. In the inward man and in the body. We're thankful, Lord, for those that you've got your arms around. For Nancy Hicks and Doug. For Roy Ann with Joe, who is here today. Joe is. And for Robert Simmons and David Vance. And Father, we pray for each one of these with the knowledge that you hear us and that you're working in their lives. And Lord, today as I prayed this morning, yesterday, I wanted to do it and I'm doing it in this place because of your love for Les. I pray for Les and Cindy. I don't know how you work inside a human heart altogether. I've watched when a heart was changed. I've watched when a life was altered. I've watched when you came and did what no one else could do through the years. And we ask you to do that again, to touch the one whose heart is hurting, who maybe needs the touch more than anybody today. Touch that brother and sister. Touch those who are undergoing testing right now with fear in their hearts. Those who are grieving, those who live as sinners and are times challenged by what they see, and bring them to yourself. And I lift up Robert and Gloria today that you will guide their steps and work in their lives and continue to use them as your instruments, doing whatever it is you want done, however you want it done. And we'll give you all the praise for that as we worship you together today. We pray for our nation, O Lord God. We ask you to work in this nation in a way that we can see lives altered, people needing you most might come to know you. Leadership of the land might discover there is a God in heaven who truly knows the heart. Deep down, he knows us. He knows every circumstance and situation. There is nothing that is outside of his sight and his comprehension. Father, we submit to you today afresh. We pray for friends and others we know who just definitely need a miracle from you that'll take them out of darkness into light. We pray that this week, as we pray for those we care about, those we feel like you've given us instruction to pray for, that you will reveal your glory and do your work among us. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. How majestic is your name. I appreciated, as others did today, the study of the names of God. Father, we recognize the mastery of your goodness and the wonder of your grace, the beauty of your countenance. May you smile upon us this week as we turn to our normal living, live as Christians every day. May your name be exalted, your name be lifted up, your name be acknowledged, believed in, trusted. Have your way. Father, we thank you now for your grace to us around the world, working in your people wherever they're found, and some are grieving, and some are hurting, and some are dying. You are with them, as you promised. So bless and have your way in them and with them today. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' matchless name, we surrender to you. We give you the leash on us is yours to hold. You have called us to yourself. And we have come. For your calling is strong and good. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Everybody said, Amen. We're going to stop a few little places here as we get into the message today. Right now, we're just going to kind of get us started. I was thinking yesterday about my time in study when I got to go to Regent, a place that was very different to what I was used to, Regent College in Vancouver, B.C., and I was thinking about my first full schedule in classes, which was one of the earliest weeks in September. Classes began in the fall. For me, I'd registered early and had connection and registration in 2 years ahead of time. As a pastor trying to make adjustments, getting a church ready for our departure. So yesterday I was thinking about that first semester and the classes I had. And I even found my sheet where I first started picking them out. This is just, all those are classes, every little block is a class. And so you go in and find what you need to study to get a degree or whatever you're working for. And what I ended up doing is trying to start out as a systematic theologian, and I became a man interested in the work of the Holy Spirit more than anything else. The kind of thing that spiritual theology is supposed to fit. Now, it's kind of funny to call theology spiritual when theology is a study of God. I mean, the word itself means you're studying God, His nature, His person, whatever parts go in that. And so here you have Dr. Packer, of course, with his big block there dealing with systematic theology. And the guy's a whiz, a bang. He's smart. And he's loving. And he doesn't put up with too much in a classroom. But I didn't have a class with him. I thought, this is it. This is the first one. There'll be four of these. Four systematic theologies. That's going to be fun. And I thought, that's going to be a good study. And the only one I ever took was the first one. Because I started finding myself in the Dr. Houston classes and Eugene Peterson classes and some other teachers that had come along as part-time teachers or special teachers, lecturers that came in. But I started on that first day at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday, about a 25-mile drive from our house into where the school was next to the University of British Columbia, tied into the University of British Columbia as one of those parts of study. And I went to a biblical interpretation class with Dr. Fee and Dr. Walkie. Now, both those guys are great. Dr. Fee is an Assembly of God man. He's been with the Assemblies a long time. And when he preaches, he preaches. He gets loud. Not everybody likes that at Regent. That's kind of a quiet, mature brain station for a lot of folk. But when Fee preaches, you can hear him next door. And when he teaches, he gets pretty loud and gets going. But I liked him. He's a good, very good teacher, very brilliant man, written huge books, 1,000-page books on some of these issues that he teaches. And I found that class stimulating. Walkie particularly blessed me. Because when he was reading, just his text came up with one book like this, looked like a Bible, wasn't a Bible. Well, it was a Bible, but it was in Hebrew. He had the Hebrew Old Testament in his hand. And when he started to read, it sounded like he'd left that book and gone to another book because he was sounding like my New King James or my ESV or my whatever other. It's coming as he translates like that. He does the translation. He's a translator on several of the Bible editions. And then I watched him reading texts that had to do with God's provision, Old Testament provision, of a Savior, a Redeemer, of Jesus. And he wept as he read. And my heart was blessed with that. Man, this is a guy who loves Jesus enough. He's breaking down while he's teaching. He was that way all the way through. I didn't have many classes with him, but I was around some when he was around. And I enjoyed the class I had. And then when I got through with their class, I stepped into another room for my second hour and a half on that particular day. And it was Packer and Systematic Theology. But I got to midweek. And on Wednesday night at 6:30 in the big chapel, it was Dr. Peterson and Biblical Spirituality. A word that I had not heard before. As far as used in the work that people do in preaching and teaching, I didn't hear about biblical spirituality. I could find it in books, but this was unusual how it was dealt with. So I began to listen as Peterson talked, and as he talked, he began to talk about, he gave us kind of an outline 4 or 5 pages long, and he gave us a list of books longer than your arm. You're supposed to read about, I don't know, 3,000 pages here and another 2,000 pages here, and you had a couple of 3 papers to write, and it all lasted 12 weeks. So it was pretty fast, pretty moving, pretty interesting time. But I began to hear Peterson talk about the spirituality of creation and the spirituality of salvation and the spirituality of holy living as if they were all part of something that was really together. Something that had a connection that is held together by the Holy Spirit, obviously. Because if you're going to talk about spiritual things, or if you're going to talk about spirituality, you're going to have to realize that it's more connected to God and His nature than it could be connected to us. It's going to come from Him. It's going to come from the Holy Spirit who's at work within us as we work through and in the Word of God. And creation encompasses the whole of all that is created, both visible and invisible, he said. Visible and invisible. God is at work. God is working even now. And when he gets his creation in place, or when he got it in place, he went to work in his plan of salvation so that those creatures who lived on the earth for whom Jesus had come to die would hear and believe the gospel and become a part of that family of God. Be a part of it through new birth, through believing, through faith. I sat in my normal place every time I went to class. I sat in the up front as close as I could get, and I sat right there and sucked it up. I talked to guys going to school up there, and they wouldn't even come every class. I thought, are you nuts? I mean, a few $100 and you get to sit through every one of them. Come on. What's the matter? Well, I don't think I can keep up. Well, what are you doing here? That's a good question. It's kind of like people sometimes when they come to you and they say, let's get back to the local church now, and they say, does it mean I have to go to church on Sunday night? Wait a minute. What do you mean, do you have to go to church? Now, listen, we don't have a Sunday night service, and I'm not hinting at the fact that we're going to, but if God hints at it, you better stay awake with me. I don't know what we're going to do with that, but people have said that to me. We don't go to Sunday night, man. I mean, it's just too much effort. Feels like it. Feels like it. Sometimes you want to ask people, say, are you really a part of this church? I mean, this church does certain things. We haven't seen you but one time in the last month. Maybe we have to see if you're part of this church. Because it's significant that we recognize what the church is. So when I got to feeding on some of that thicker, heavier, meaty stuff down in the ground, growing out of creation, becoming salvation plan for me, I had to back down and say, okay, Lord, dish it out. I'll do whatever you say. I'll write every paper. I'll do it on time. I'll get it in. And I got to tell you, I wrote every paper I wrote for those years I studied longhand more than once. And my wife typed every one of them over and over. And when the typewriter and the other stuff wasn't working, I went to bed. She worked all night. I got up. She went to bed because I was headed to school with my paper. She'd just written up for me in a typewriter. It was what? Oh, yeah, I forgot. We were past the typewriter. It was a computer. But if it had been me doing it, it wouldn't have been done yet. Slow is my middle name when it comes to those things. But she did that. And I found myself so interested in what was happening, I could not have missed a class. I didn't want to miss a class. I wanted to be in the class. I wanted to hear what God was saying to people who belonged to Him, who loved Him, and who spent their time with Him. And I heard it and heard it and heard it. Now, when I first got here, I know I loaded it out on everybody. I had a lot of new stuff working in me, and I got here and I handed it out, and I thought it was pretty good. Man, oh man, stuff came alive in my heart, and it was working me over, and I enjoyed it, every bit of it. Now, for the last several years, I haven't done that. I haven't used very much of what I'm teaching or trying to teach now, and I'm trying to teach because I'm having to go through it all again and restudy everything and see what I was missing. And I'm trying to do that. There is, in God's economy, a marvelous plan that makes it possible for those He's working in to be transformed and established on this earth in His church in such a way that the church can be a lighthouse, a beacon, a life giver to those that are around us. They're not going to come inside very much, and we appreciate those who do, I tell you. But we're reaching a time now where it's going to take somebody with more than words. Because too many Christians in today's market are identifying themselves as Christians and telling us why when there is no reality to back it up. No real life there. So alien to the truth. So apart from the meal that we just had at the table. Sinners don't even understand why we do that. And sometimes we Christians don't. We just take the little cup, Dan, take the little cup, suck it down, that's good, go. So I got up to the church up in Vancouver. We went to a big church there a few times. And that was an Anglican church, huge. But it's fun to go to a church where Dr. Packer is on the minister's staff. He's a pastor on staff. And we saw him lead communion one time. He couldn't get the song he wanted. He said, good grief! You can't even get a song you want in this place. I thought, Packer. And then I realized, nobody's going to tell Packer to sit down. He's the man. He's the man. Grace took a course from one of the pianists, or the organist in that big church. And he was a funny guy. When he walks, he's like he's running somewhere. She took a class. So what song did you sing for him? She said, we're looking at Western music in the church. Oh, this was an eye-opener for him. He learned things. What were you... Huh? You ever heard that gospel song? Ha, 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 ha. Ho, 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 and ha, 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 and he, he, he. There you go. Man, oh man. That guy was at it. He said in class, he had his mouth hanging open. Are you kidding? Did you sing that? Yeah, we sang it. You betcha. It's been a long time since we've sung it. Now. But it just kept unfolding for us. That study opened so many avenues in my heart and life. And one of my professors said to me, you know, when you get back wherever you are among your own people, they're not going to care whether you've got a master's degree or not. Because it doesn't make any difference. What makes a difference is God at work in you. And the realization of that God working, changing us, goes on all the time. All the time. Is it possible that we could enter this place one Sunday morning and God would begin to work in such a way we wouldn't get out of our pew, we'd just begin to weep, we might kneel, we might not. Nobody would direct it because it needed no direction. We'd just become aware that we're in the presence of God. Let's listen, let's pay attention for a while. James Houston at Regent, still traveling, still delivering the work around the world. He's 97. That's right, 97. He was old when I was there. And he led retreats. I mean, this is the founding leader of the school after all these years, and he still has this desire to take some of his students on a local retreat to some kind of nice retreat center where they could be silent before the Lord half a day, where they could take some question that's working at them and begin to rock it over and talk it over in the quiet moments of time. He was so in love with Jesus that he spent every moment I ever heard him talking about his church and about his master and about his Lord and the wonder of it all. I asked him one time about his flying because he was leaving a class in the middle of the day. He said, oh, I've got to go to Hong Kong. A lot of guys over from Regent students from Hong Kong were a lot of them coming. He said, I have these friends that I go and see and help. We're doing some projects over there. I said, how do you do that all the time? I didn't tell him he's an old man. I didn't suggest that he needs to be remembering he's an old man. He said, oh, God's blessed me so much. He said, when I get in the plane, I sit down, I'm asleep. He said, I can drop off in a few minutes. I can have somebody wake me, or I can fly all the way to the destination. Because I rest in those things. Now, I don't rest in planes. And I know we're supposed to trust these guys that know how to fly them. Now, Bob knows how to fly them, but I don't want to fly with him. Not now. Not now. When I hear we're going to go on an airplane, I double take to whether or not I heard God speak. You know? I've flown in a couple of three of those little bitty planes. Those are my first flying deals. With pilots he's learning. You know, that helps, doesn't it, when he comes in and says, yeah, he's learning. I had a missionary friend bought this plane, put half his kids in there. He didn't have a couple of kids, but he had a bunch of kids belonging to the other folk. We put some people in us. And this guy, I couldn't tell if he knew how to fly the plane or not. It took him forever to get him up off the ground. And my word was, get us back on the ground as soon as you can with the wheels down. Get it done. That whole experience, when we finally arrived at a place that offered all these opportunities that I had been reading about and praying about and hoping for, scared me spitless. And sometimes today when I preach, I'm scared spitless. When you're shy, you can be afraid pretty easy. I've been afraid a lot of times when I was speaking. When I really found freedom to preach, and it wasn't me, it was Him. And of late, I've been battling some of those fears that make it hard for me to get my mind rolled back over on what I was thinking about. I pray, I put it together, and Grace is praying for me all the time. And I know that. She's praying for you. You're part of us, the church, the body of Christ. And I don't like that feeling. I like to study something half a day and then close it up and come back to it the next morning and it's all gone. It's not there. And you got to go back on your face to try to find out where it went. Or you might just want to try to preach the new thing. And that doesn't work either because now you're all crossed up. Which one of these do I take? That may sound ridiculous to you, but it's not. It's true. It's how it works sometimes. And I'm walking toward a light that is Him who's guiding me through the dark. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt of my wife's encouragement and many of you who know a little bit about the struggle sometimes. I know that one day, maybe sooner than I think, I'll walk in the full light again of His purposes. I'll be able to do what He wants in a continuum. There is nothing like preaching when the anointing carries you through the room. You guys that have preached know this is true. When He's there and it's just you and Him. Well, what happened to the people? Oh, they're there okay, but I can't do anything with them. He has to do it with them. So I'm going to have to keep doing what He called me to do. My early days here, I spent at least 20 hours a week on a sermon. At an extra hour, I did that. This people gave me the freedom to be in that study a lot of hours. Maybe I need to go back to that for just a little while. Because I got into a lot more visiting and doing those kinds of things than I'd done before. And I love doing that. And I will do it because, I mean, how hard can it be to take care of a 50 people flock, huh? Can't be bad. Taking care of people in the hard places. And we have some of those. And I love doing that. But I'm asking the Lord to just, if this is what You want me to do, if this is the continuum of what I feel in my heart is mine to do, would You please just open it up? Let me walk through that door and get busy. Not worry about the other too much. And if it isn't, like our brother said, is a good timely word to me. What's a pastor going to do when he retires? He's going to pastor. Now he doesn't have to worry about the title. He doesn't have to worry about all the other stuff. He just gets out there and be the man of God he is. And we all have some accountability, we men, and of course the ladies too. But for me, I have some accountability for the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids. Praying for them, loving them, watching what God's doing, praying that God would do certain things. It's important to do that, isn't it? Family is important, so we don't pick and choose what we're doing there. When I got through with that first semester, I'd go to that little mailbox every day. I want to see if my scores were there. I didn't have any idea how to write these papers. Didn't have any idea. I got some good research. I sent my wife to the library while I was in class. Actually, I didn't send her. She volunteered to go. And she went in looking up stuff, looking for words she couldn't even pronounce. Neither could I. And Dave Dewert, who was my teacher in Greek and Hebrew, 40-year-old prof, walked by and said, "Grace, what are you doing here?" She told him what he was looking for, and he stopped long enough, however long it took, to show her how to find things in those books. There were lots of things like that that shaped and kept us in line. So when those weeks were over and those 12 weeks were done, I had all my papers in on time as I had promised the Lord. All of them on time, thanks to my sweetie. We're all there. And I got A's and 1 A-. And I would have turned cartwheels had I been able to turn cartwheels. But I was one of the older students at 49, so it was a little different. But not for my heart and my realization that God was going to see me through this, no matter how hard it got. No matter. And it was amazing. And in this time that we're living in now, for Grace and me and for you, can't you see the difference in what's happening in the culture, how it's affecting the church as a whole? Can anybody notice the difference? The church has a job to do as an entity through which Christ is exalted and sinners are confronted. And the result, if we do that together and let God lead us, join me in praying about it, would you? So that we can ask the Lord, what do you want this church to look like from this time on? We're not dead yet. We're not done yet. We're still alive in this place. Ask Him. And when you have the freedom to talk to me about it, please do. Because I'm going to be asking Him too. What to do. What I really was going to talk about today was, I can't even remember now. That's right. What was it? Saints. Oh, look at that. See, Bob already got that introduced in class. He said, "I don't know what he's going to say about saints." Well, we're going to get it done, but we're not going to do it today. We'll just step in next time. But we're going to start with that finding again. What is the meaning of the word saints as you find it in the Scriptures? Just briefly. When we first got here, remember Anita? I said, let's call ourselves, let's address ourselves as the saints of God. Using it in the proper way. Meaning holy people. People that were set apart. People that were God's people, really, God's people. Saint Anita did really good. She picked it up. You know, the worst thing we could do is call ourselves saints. That makes it a little bit difficult to do, doesn't it? But if God does it, then we can get people to do it for us. So we know it. And then I wanted to talk to you about the holiness that's involved in this spirituality of creation, salvation, divine living, holy living. And the holiness that's involved in that, starting with Isaiah. Of course, Isaiah 6. And then going to Revelation 4 and 5, which you heard some of that today. And then John 17. Guess what? Holy, 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 Isaiah. Holy, 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 Revelation 4. Holy, holy, holy. If you look at the preceding words in John chapter 17, Holy Father is how he starts it in verse 11 and uses that holy rhythm so that there are three holies with sanctify and saint along with the holy in that text as well. Holiness of God permeates the spiritualities that are worked into the fiber of a congregation standing to represent the King in a city where Jesus alone can save. Amen. Thank you for listening. Letting the Lord speak. I'll be looking forward to talking to you as we pray. Let's pray now. Father, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for loving us this much. I want to thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. I want to thank you for the wonder that comes when you show up. What we long for, what our hearts desire, and all the preparations we've got in our lives, all of our ages and our places where we learned and were taught and grew, has brought us to this point where we can say to you, Lord, show us clearly the door into your purposes and plan for us. And we're not in a hurry. We want to worship you along the way. We want to walk with you along the way. We want to hear your word along the way so that we can fulfill the purpose for which you have called and ordained us to this moment in time and to this place. We thank you for who you are and what you do, and give you praise, loving you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.